Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Welcome to another exciting episode in the long-running soap opera of life, which is Holy Half Hour, here on 3TFM, our local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight is part three in the series of four lessons made in Taiwan. As your intrepid world traveller, I'd like to share with you some valuable insights into our own lives in the light of my experiences in Taiwan. So, ni hao ma, that's hello in Chinese with a strong Aberdeenshire accent. Fasten your seatbelts and prepare to take off to a fascinating place which will furnish us with many enriching experiences and insights. To get us in the mood, here is some popular Taiwanese music, the sort that taxis, the cafes and the 3TFMs over there play.
Oh,
Recently, we were thinking about Chinese language and about freedom. Tonight, let's think about worship. I got a really big shock in Taiwan when I saw the many small g gods. There were gods everywhere, as what looked like little ornaments on shelves in offices, shops, restaurants, and private homes. There were even shrines with gods in the middle of a paddy field. The statues, or little ornament gods, came in all forms and all sizes and all varieties. The smallest were on shelves, but the largest were huge. I saw a statue which claimed to be the sea goddess, who gave people safe passage across the sea if they prayed to her. She was over 30 feet high, made of pure white stone. Buddha is not considered to be a god, but there was a statue of Buddha which was so large I could go inside him and walk up a spiral staircase to the top, 88 feet high, and look out through his eyes. That's what you call getting a Buddhist eye view of the world. It was like going up a lighthouse. There were ornate and plain gods, cheap and expensive gods, jewelled, wooden, metal and stone gods. I also saw children bowing and saying quiet words in front of Chiang Kai-shek's statue. Chiang Kai-shek, you'll remember, was the leader of China when the communists under Mao Zedong chased them out of mainland China onto the offshore island of Taiwan. He's considered to be the father of the nation of modern Taiwan. Even in families, there's a degree of ancestor affinity, if not out-and-out worship. You can have aids to devotion, means to an end, helps in the worship of God or gods, but very often these become ends in themselves, and thought of as being the god or the god, little god themselves. It's then that they become idols. It's an amazing thought to realise that millions of people today, in our modern scientific age, look at wood and stone and think that they are gods who can do things to affect their lives. But before we rush to criticise the Taiwanese, do we have any gods, false gods, material gods, idols? Do we have unrealistic expectations of our wee gods? Gods like money, power, family, popularity, football, television, alcohol, drugs, possessions, or self? Who or what really runs our lives? Be honest.
Always a wanted, I guess I'll never have. I'll be working for somebody else until I'm in my grave. I'll be dreaming of a life of ease and mountains, oh, mountains of thanks. Have a big expensive car, drag my furs on the ground. Have a maid I can tell to bring me anything. Everyone will look at me with envy and with greed. Now revel in their attention and mountains, oh mountains of thanks. Sweet lazy life, champagne and caviar. Hope you come and find me, 'cause you know who we are. Those who deserve the best in life know what the money's worth. Those whose sole misfortune is having mountains on nothing at birth. Oh, they tell me it's still time to save my soul. They tell me we now saw counts all those material things you gain by exploiting all the human brains. Consume more than you need. This is a dream to make you pauper or make you queen. Won't die lonely, have it all prearranged. A grave that's deep and wide enough for me and all my mountains of thanks. They tell me still time to save my soul. They tell me lives around me. Keep all my enemies away. Keep my sadness and loneliness at bay. Somebody else until I'm in my grave. I'll be dreaming of a life of ease and mountains, oh mountains, oh thanks. I'll be dreaming, 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 dreaming. I'll be dreaming, 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 dreaming.
That was Tracy Chapman singing Mountains of Things. There are gods everywhere in Taiwan. Why so many of them in so many places? I did ask. The answer seems to be because they have limited powers. Crudely speaking, they're like flypaper. They only kill the evils in the buildings in which they're in. So one per street's not enough. In the Bible, 1 Kings 20, there's the story of the Syrian army attacking the Israelites in the 9th century BC. The Syrians are repulsed. So they put their heads together and come up with the thought, we made a mistake attacking on the hills. The Israelites' gods are gods of the hills. Next time, we'll attack them in the valleys. As it happened, God gave the Israelites the victory in the valleys too, just to show the Syrians that he's God of both the hills and the valleys. So is our perception of God too small sometimes? Do we underestimate him? Do we limit him to being a God of the mountaintop experiences when all is wonderful? Or do we also know God as the one who gives us strength beyond our own strength in the valleys of life too?
You are mighty God. You
Taiwan has a row of statues: the Sea Goddess, Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, and Jesus. We find that strange, indeed offensive. They think, why not? Play safe, keep everybody happy, cover all angles. They're quite tolerant of everyone's beliefs. They think that we Christians are a bit intolerant. It's rare to get someone in Taiwan who worships just one God. They are happy to pick and mix, like we do picking sweets in Woolworths. The only group who don't fit in with this is the Christians. They are exclusive. They worship Jesus as being the one and only true and living God. It's not that he is the greatest among the gods, but that all the others are just false gods, they claim. They quote the Bible, which says, "You shall have no other gods besides me." To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? The idol? A workman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for its silver chains. And the Christians in Taiwan were being persecuted for their attitude. Christians have always been persecuted for this attitude. When St. Paul went to Athens, to Mars Hill, he found lots and lots of statues to gods. He even found a statue marked "To the Unknown God." In other words, the miscellaneous other god, just in case we forgot one. So Paul said, "Let me tell you about your unknown God. He is in fact Jesus. And truth be told, he is the only God. And all the other gods are just also-rans." Not surprisingly, they chased him for his life. But down the centuries, Christians have been persecuted for worshipping Jesus exclusively as the only God. Christians are monotheists, not polytheists. Here's Lenny LeBlanc singing "Above All."
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what treasures of the above all.
The Taiwanese people are also very superstitious. They're into zodiac signs and horoscopes, special days and special years. They have Ghost Month, which is August. There are very few weddings or open very few businesses in August. It's considered unlucky. At New Year, they put up flower wreaths and then they leave them to wither away because it's considered to be unlucky to take them down. But before we throw any bricks of ridicule, consider our own glass houses. Who of us reads their horoscopes, wears St. Christopher's, won't walk under ladders and touches wood a lot? I went into a Taoist temple, it's spelt T-A-O but said D-O-W, and I watched people coming in. They were going up to a big pillar. It was full of little alcoves with wee figures in them and a light bulb in each. The statues were gods. There must have been about 70 of them. The worshipper selected a god, pressed a button and the light came on. They were making personal prayer requests to the appropriate god. For example, if they were going on a journey across the sea, they would select the sea goddess and then press her button and say their prayer. It struck me a bit like being thumbing through the yellow pages, hoping and praying to find the right plumber. In the temple, I saw an amazing sight. A man burning money. I've never seen that before or since. This was his sacrifice to his god. However, the Taiwanese are too good businessmen to just burn money and watch it go up in smoke. What happens is the worshipper buys sacrificing money from the temple. The temple keeps the real money and the worshipper burns the monopoly money. To be fair, it did cost him real money, so it is a genuine sacrifice. But the temple also wins by keeping the real money. And so far, the gods have never complained. It's easy to criticise other people about their beliefs and practices, but it's more profitable to learn from them by taking a long, hard look at our own beliefs and practices. Looking at others can shed light on ourselves. I thought that the temple worship was very individual. You just go down when it suits you, pick your god, say a private prayer and go home again. In other words, no corporate hymn singing, or praying together, or listening together to preaching. But how many people in church are thinking individually rather than corporately? People just go to the temple when they want something, like a safe passage across the sea. It's all a bit selfish. But in Scotland, how many people only pray to God when they want something and only attend church when they want a favour from God? Peak church attendances in Scotland came during the Second World War. Be honest, how much of our worship is man-centred and self-centred rather than God-centred? Individualistic rather than corporate. How many of us make sacrifices that are more like investments? We scratch God's back in the hope that he will scratch ours. Real worship is about ascribing worth to God for his own sake. Real worship is all about gratitude. Real worship is about God, not us. Real worship is self-sacrificial. Real worship is unconditional love and total dedication to the God who, as Jesus, loves us so unconditionally and totally that he sacrifices himself for us. Bye for now. Tune in again next week to 3TFM. I leave you in the hands of Noel Richards singing, "You Laid Aside Your Majesty."
beside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you had created. You took all my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. Now today you reign in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever I will love you. You are the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in adoration.
You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you had created. You took
my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever I will love you. You are the only one who died for me, gave your life to save.